All right, thank you, Pastor. And tonight we're in the book of Psalms, Psalm 91. Thanks so much for being with us tonight again. And we've really enjoyed seeing the pictures. We enjoy the creativity that you all have been showing forth at home. We've heard a bunch of different stories. I think our favorite one so far has been Brother Dara handing out cash prizes for those that listen and learn something. And so, Brother Dara, Miss Horan, if y'all are watching, I assume you are, just text my wife if there's cash prizes tonight. My kids will be over there to partake, all right? And so my wife said, and of course I'm not there, I'm here each service, but my wife had my son do announcements. I was only five, and so he did announcements, and there's nothing spiritual about his announcements. All they were was a family wish list of things that we're never going to do, but at least he got up there and said something, right? You got to be careful who you give a platform to. You give a platform to the wrong people. The Bible says something about like binding an arrow or something, stone in a sling, something like that. I think Brother Gary said that he didn't get enough church. So he wanted to have more. So they had their own service between services with their family. I think Gracie and Charity did some singing specials, and Gary and Daniel Bowen did the preaching. And so Daniel and Gary, if you guys are watching, make sure you keep it doctrinally sound, all right? We can't be having our families get off course preaching heresy or anything like that during this time. Just kidding. I'm sure it was good. But now, many of you have been taking advantage of having coffee. Now, kind of not fair, Brother Ray. He's right back there. And so we're here in the auditorium, right? We're not allowed to have coffee, few of us that are here. But you all can. You all can. And so I'm thinking about asking, if you all will send us pictures of the screen, the preacher, with the coffee, we'd like to have a coffee and preaching Instagram post. I don't know if Pastor approved that for our church. He gave us the thumbs up there. So your coffee and the preaching, send that in. We'd love to do that. Now, take advantage of it. I was going to say get it out of your system. Get it into your system, right? Because we're going to be in that new building probably not too long after we get past this thing, right? Who knows? Maybe we'll just walk right into the new building after this or something like that. But we get it out of your system, because I assure you, Mrs. Stein, who's normally sitting right back there, she's not going to let you into the door. Brother Mike Medina, who normally sits right over there, he's not going to let you in the door. Brother Oscar, he's here tonight doing bouncer service. And so he's not going to allow that. So enjoy the coffee now. Send the pictures now. It won't last long, all right? Now, I have two guests watching tonight. And one is Form, should be watching, from our Thai waiter, from a Thai restaurant, and also John. So if you're here watching, I think you already texted me earlier, thanks for watching. All right, Psalm 91. By the way, invite your friends to watch. Maybe they wouldn't come here on campus, but invite your friends, send them a link, and they might just tune in, see what God's doing. God might speak to their heart. Psalm 91, we're going to read 15 verses here. Now, this is going to be, I don't do a deep Bible study or verse by verse every time. I try to do some more expository. Now I walked in, this is going to be more Bible study, maybe not as preachy. But Brother Vaught said, hey, Brother Joseph, nobody's here. You don't have to see their faces. Let it rip. I said, what should I let it rip about? And he said, preach on social media. I said, if they listen to the sermon partway through, they're going to have to drop what we're doing here. And so that's not going to work. So no preaching on social media. We'll wait till we get back here together, okay? So what are you going to do? All right, 91. Enough. We got to get to the preaching. I don't have that much time left, okay? Psalm 91, the Bible says here, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely, and by the way, I encourage you to have a physical Bible. Keep it open. We're going to go back and forth quite a bit between verses here in this chapter. Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Keep those words in mind. And from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked, because, prerequisite, thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague, come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee in their hand, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for just a moment, and we'll get into the message. Lord, we would all agree that these are uncertain times. Probably every man that's spoken here at this point tonight has mentioned something to that effect. But God, we're so thankful that you, and with you, there's no uncertainty. And God, you're omniscient. You know everything. You know why everything happens. And Lord, you have a remedy in your word for your people when we go through uncertain times. Lord, I pray that you would be with us tonight. Be with me as I preach. All of us, work in our hearts. And might we look to your principles to be able to respond properly when those times come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many of us still remember what is now known as the Great Recession of 2008, started in 2008 and lasted a couple years. Some of us that are watching here, some of our church family lost their homes. They put down payments. They put a lot of money into their homes. They lost their homes. Many lost their jobs. Thousands and thousands lost their jobs. Many panicked, pulled their stocks out of the stock market, and lost their retirement savings. I'll never forget. We were watching, my dad mentioned it, and I ended up seeing it myself as well, something that President Obama's chief of staff said during that time. I think it was the turn of 2008, 2009. They were just strategizing, getting in office, doing all that. And they were strategizing, what are we going to do as a result of this recession going forward? This is what he said. He said, his name's Rahm Emanuel. And I'm sure some are not a fan. He was formerly and recently the new Chicago City mayor after being with Obama. He said this. He said, never let a serious crisis go to waste. And what I mean by that is it's a crisis is an opportunity to do things you thought you couldn't do before. Now, think about that. Over the next year, President Obama and his team took advantage of a crisis and did things that were unprecedented in United States history. Think about it. 2009, they passed an almost $1 trillion stimulus package. Sound familiar, huh? That year, they also passed what's now known as the Affordable Care Act, or we know it as what? Obamacare, right? If you look at their agenda, they came in with an agenda and they took advantage of a window of time that they had to get a bunch of their agenda passed that probably outside of that recession, they would not have been able to pass. Why? Because they marched under a mantra, don't waste a crisis. Now, God that we serve, he's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He orders the affairs of this world, including the crisis that we're in right now. And I can almost assure us, I would assume if he were to audibly speak through your screen, to those of us that are here tonight, he would look at God's people and he would say the same as Rahm Emanuel said. He would say, don't waste this crisis. And I hope that we, as God's people, are asking the Lord, praying, taking an assessment daily and asking, God, what are you trying to do in our country? God, what are you trying to do in my family, in our church? But most importantly, Lord, what are you trying to do in my life during this time? Psalm 91 talks about times of uncertainty. But what I love about the Word of God is God's Word does not give uncertainty without also giving us a place for certainty and confidence. He doesn't talk about fear unless God's Word also talks about faith. He doesn't talk about the potential for failure unless he talks about the potential for success. God's word gives a problem, but it also gives a solution and a remedy. That's what I love about the Bible. Here in Psalm 91, it talks about uncertain times, but it also talks about the Christian's best response and position during uncertain times. Today, tonight, I'd like to just look at three realities that we find here in Psalm 91 about life and about uncertain times. And here it is. First of all, the first reality that we see as the reality of the crisis in the world. So what does that mean? Here it is. The psalmist here, we'll get to Psalm 91 in a moment. The psalmist here just assumes that crises and storms and tough times are a part of life. It's assumed. He doesn't say it's going to happen. He says when it happens. He says crises are a part of life. Let's look here at Psalm 91 and let's see some of the crises that we see here in this passage. First of all, if you look there at verse number 3, and if you have your outline there, I have just bullet points. If you've downloaded it for future reference, I think we're uploading all the notes for all the sermons, so you can download it ahead of time and fill it out there with your family. But here it is. First of all is the snare of the fowler. What is that? That's the trap of the enemy. Now, I'd come home multiple times, especially back in the day, and my little brothers, Ben and Nathaniel, they thought they were, I don't know, urban hunters or something like that. And I come into the garage and see pigeons, caged pigeons. I'm thinking, those are like city rats with wings, right? And so I come, pigeons! Or, you know, they'd try to catch a bird and they'd end up catching a cat. I heard about someone here recently, they were trying to attract the squirrels and they got skunks instead. And so, but what does my brother Nathaniel showed me one time how he got the pigeons, and very subtle. They come down, they thought they were getting seeds from freshly planted grass. And before you know it, he's waiting there with a string, or they trip a little trap. And without even knowing it, they step into a trap and they're caged. Now, same thing a fowler does. What does he do? He sets a trap. My kids, we were very careful with what they watch. But an old movie of the faith, The Fox and the Hound, right? The Fox and the Hound. I woke up all the kids out there today. My kids are probably, Fox and the Hound, tonight I'll get home. Can we watch it? You know that old grouchy man, and he gets that clamp trap with the teeth, and he opens it up, and he sets it down, and he covers it up with leaves, and what happens? Well, he ends up stepping in his own trap. But you know, we have an enemy, and he's very crafty, and he has traps all around. You know, the honest truth is, we may just wake up one day, and we may realize that our children walked into one of those traps. It's happened, and it can happen again. We might wake up one day and realize that we have fallen into one of those traps. Maybe a situation in life didn't go the way that we thought it would, and we got disillusioned. That's a trap. Maybe someone said something or started something, and we didn't forgive the right way, and we've fallen into the trap of bitterness or depression or a financial trap. Traps are a crisis of life. Next, look at the next one there in verse number 3 also. From the noisome pestilence. Here it is. What does noisome mean? I looked it up. I was like, what does that mean? Is that loud? No, it's not loud. Noisome means fast moving and deadly. That's a disease. It's an external disease generally that you can see. That's a disease that moves fast. You can see it and it leaves death in its path. You know, disease and sickness, as long as we're in this sin-cursed world, it's a part of life. It's a crisis and it may come to you. It may come to me. There's another one. Here it is. Fear. Look at verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid for terror by night. What is that? Fear. Someone once said, the biggest thing we have to fear is what? Fear itself. Look, we are, as humans, we tend to be a panic-stricken, fear-driven people. You say, how do I know that humans are naturally fear-driven? Two words. Toilet paper. Toilet paper. Brother Oscar just told me that in his neighborhood, you know, they used to walk around with corn and watermelon and stuff. In his neighborhood, a lady is walking around selling toilet paper on a cart. You have got to be kidding me. And if I was at home, I'd be laughing too. I was at Walmart. Now, we have 6 people in my family now. And so the kids, and we go through toilet paper fairly fast, you know, 6 people. Okay. And so I go to Walmart, Pastor, and the shelves are bare. But I see a lady, an older lady, and she's walking out, I calculated it, about 120 rolls of toilet paper. I'm thinking she couldn't use that in 2020 if she tried. See, what's that? Toilet paper's not going to be here. So what? If we see someone buying it, everyone panics and buys toilet paper. Why? We're fearful it's not going to be here. Look, if we run out of toilet paper in this nation, we've got a whole lot worse things to worry about. Like food or our other things. But what is it? We're fear-driven. Now, if you look there in verse number 5, afraid of terror by night, that terror by night, that's talking about fear of the unknown. Night, it's we don't know it's coming. We're scared because we don't know what's going to happen to our family. I don't know what's going to happen to my job. I don't know if there's going to be work. I'm sick. I don't know if I'm going to get better. That's an unknown fear. Fear itself, terror, can be a crisis. I don't know what's going to happen to my child. I don't know what's going to happen financially. Next, the next one, look at verse 5 again. He says, nor by the arrow that flieth by day. Now, the first four that we see, the first four were subtle. They're unseen, really. They just kind of happen. Now, this one's blatant. He says, look, here's another kind of crisis. There's an enemy. He rears up Brother Ray. He gets his arrow out, and he just shoots that thing at you. Gossip, slander, persecution, maybe unsaved family, maybe an unsaved boss, maybe a coworker. He says, look, it happens. Next. No, I have a good boss, and he's saved. Thanks for coming. Okay, sitting right there, I got to behave myself, all right? Another one, look at verse 6. He talks about pestilence that walketh in the dark. This one would hit home for us here today. Pestilence would be disease. That would be sickness. Walketh in the dark means it's invisible. How many times have we heard our president talk about the invisible enemy of coronavirus, right? Pestilence that walketh in the dark, that's an invisible sickness that we know it's laying around. We have no idea where it is. It's a crisis. It causes a crisis. It's part of life. Next, in verse 6, and I got to move quickly here, he talks about destruction at noon. That's anything that just comes. It can come at any time of the day and destroy quickly. A hurricane that wastes a county, an earthquake that wastes a city, a financial crisis that wastes an economy. Next, look at verse number 7. He talks about death. He said, there may come a point where 1,000 die at one side and 10,000 at the other side. Brother Kevin Kemp, blessing to our family, blessing to our church. He went home to be with the Lord this past week. And my brother and sister flew out, try to be with them, be a blessing for a couple days. And death is a real crisis. If it hasn't met our family, it will sometime. It's a crisis of life that he talks about here. Next, he talks about trouble, just of any kind. Verse 15, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. It shows a Christian, this is a good man, that's in trouble crying out to God. You say, what's the point here with point number one? The first reality is the reality of the crisis. Look, crises, they're a part of life. And the psalmist says, look, if you're not in a storm right now, you probably were in one before or you're about to get into one soon. But number two, we see a second reality here. The second reality, here it is. It's the confidence of the Christian. The confidence of the Christian. Where do we find our confidence in times like this? Look at verse number 1. He says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I think about what's going on today, Brother Vaught. Brother Vaught's sitting right back there. I think about it. We stay at our homes, or people are staying home, going nowhere. Some people are barricading themselves inside. Why? Because we see our homes as a shadow from the sickness that's outside. We go out to the store, and I capitulated. I did it yesterday. We go outside, and we go to a populated place, and we wear a mask. Why? Because we think it's a shadow for our face. We stockpile. Why? Because we think if food runs out, it's a shadow from hunger. I think God used this word. This word shadow here, it means a shade, a covering, and a defense. I think God used that because why do we look for a shadow? A shadow has the connotation of something bigger, something higher, something stronger that can shield us from that uncertainty. That can shield us from that which would harm us. It would shield us from that which we are fearful of. And he says, I want to, in times like this, me, God Almighty, I want to be your shadow. If you look here, he shows himself as a shadow in different areas. Look at verse number 2. He says, as a shadow, I want to be and I can be your refuge and your fortress. I think of the verse where the psalmist says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me where? To the rock that is higher than I. You say, what's that? That's a picture of, it's a shadow. It's something bigger. It's something stronger. Maybe I go inside. Maybe I hide behind it. Maybe I go under it to shelter me, to shadow me from something that I don't want. I think of the song, a mighty what? Fortress is our God. Next, if you look at verse 3, it says, he's our deliverer from the trap, if you stepped into it, or from pestilence. I'm going to move quickly here. Verse 4, he's our covering. He said he wants to cover us. Now, God, you know, there's those 99-cent umbrellas that whenever a little gust of wind blows, they flip up, right? And you get all wet, and it just kind of drains on the inside, makes it worse, goes all down your arm into your shirt. Then there's the Brother Ray's umbrella. You ever seen Brother Ray's umbrella? Brother Ray, he's prepared. And so he's got that massive, sturdy, you know, you can get your whole tribe under that thing. You're not getting wet. He says, look, he says, I'm going to cover you up. That's what he says, I'm a covering. God's not that 99-cent store umbrella. God is the big, sturdy one that covers you up. When the storm comes, he's got you covered. Next, he's our parental shield. Look at verse 5. It says, thou shalt not be, Verse 4, put the wrong one on there. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. My dad told a story about him and his brother-in-law, my uncle Trent. And Pastor, you probably remember the story. There was a mama duck and all her little ducklings following behind. And my uncle, you know, he's 6'2", big guy. And he goes, what do you think about me going and grabbing one of those little ducklings? You know, my dad probably put him up to it. He said, go for it, grab it. He went there and you know, he just grabbed it real quick. And what happened? That mama duck went whew, straight for him, attacked his chest. He didn't care. You're talking about a duck, what's it, 5 pounds, something like that, attacking a 200-pound man. Just attack, attack. He's like, whoa, you've never seen a 200-pound man run so fast. You say, why? Because a mother duck or a mother hen is ultra protective of her young. That's the picture God wants us to see. He says, look, he goes, I'm going to protect my own. He goes, you get under my wing, there is nobody, no matter how big they are, going to come and get you out from under my wing. He wants to be our parental shield. Next, he wants to be our shield and our buckler. Verse 4. Next, verse 5, he wants to be our confidence. In verse 6, he wants to be our health. In verse 15, he wants to be our answer. See, what's the point? There's a reality of a crisis. Crisis and uncertain times, they're a part of life. But I'm glad that as a Christian, I have God Almighty that I can run to, and he can be my shadow. That's my confidence. That's my confidence. Number three, and finally, third reality is this. There's a criteria for help. What does that mean? That means there's a prerequisite. See, just because I name the name of Christ, I'm going to have confidence and peace and all that kind of stuff? No. If you look here, what's the criteria for the man who's going to have that confidence, who's going to run to that shadow during the uncertain times? How can I get this confidence is what I want to know. How can I have this shadow? Where can I find this peace? The answer is found in the very first verse as well. Look at Psalm 91, verse 1. The Bible says this. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What's he saying? Do you want the Lord God Almighty to be your shadow? Dwell in the secret place. Dwell in the secret place. You say, what's the secret place? I'm glad you asked. You don't have to turn here. Psalm 71, listen to this. Thou shalt hide them in the secret place of thy presence. Look at Psalm 32, 7. Just listen. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Psalm 61, verses 3 through 4. Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Psalm 90, verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. You say, how? Where? What is this secret place? I'll tell you, it's the presence of Almighty God. You say, how do I get to that place where I'm dwelling in the secret place so that I can be under his shadow? Walk with God. Walk with God. You say, how can I do that according to this chapter? Let's look at it real quick. I have a few moments left here. First of all, I can do it by abiding in his word. And pastors talk so much about this in his discipleship series, John chapter 15, abide in me and let your abide in me and my words will abide in you. Here it is in Psalm 91. Look here, Psalm 91, verse number 4. He said, I want that shield. I'll tell you where the shield is found. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. And if you look here, it talks about a habitation. It talks about abiding. It talks about dwelling. What's that? Let me say this. You want to abide under the shadow? You want to have peace and confidence? Get into this book right here. Go on Fox News, go on CNN. They're changing their stories left and right and left and right. Fake news abounds. Alternative realities abound. All these fake stats. There was a fact checker, Pastor, if you saw that. He fact checked someone yesterday, and today he had to fact check himself because he was wrong. I'm going to tell you this. You get into this book, there is no hashtag fake news. There is no alternate realities. There's no fact checking the fact check. This is the fact check book. And if we want to dwell under the shadow of the Almighty, get into that book and abide in that book, because this book will teach us what we ought to do during times like this. Number one, abide in his word. Number two, by setting our love upon him. Look at verse number 14, almost done here. Because he hath set his love upon me, because, prerequisite. Therefore, prerequisite. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. You say, what's that? Well, how do we demonstrate our love to him? Pastor's been talking about this in his series as well. If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. No doubt. And a couple people have told me, no doubt we've had some more time to think, to meditate, to get alone with God. And no doubt, God has worked in some of our hearts and said, you know what? Your priorities in life, this crisis is showing you some of them need to get flipped. You say, but I like my priorities the way they are. I understand that. Don't we all? Do you love him? Do you want to set your love upon him? First, we abide in his word. We get into his word. His word's like a mirror. It shows us what we ought to do. You want to abide under that shadow? Get into his word and then set your love upon him by doing what his word says every day. Let's ask God, God, are there some priorities? Are there some things in my life? We have more time. We may never have dead time like this as long as we live. We may never. Why don't we take advantage of this time to get into that book and say, God, what do you want me to do? And then set our love upon him and go out and do it. Number three, and I'm done, by calling out to him in prayer. Now let's look at verse number 15. It says, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. I will honor him. Psalm 50:15 says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. By the way, looking forward to doing that even after the fact here. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all them that call upon him in truth. And we can go on and on and on. You say, what's the point? Crises are a part of life. One's here right now. It's going to pass. Praise the Lord. It's going to pass sometime soon. But another one will come. That's a reality. But we also have the reality of confidence because we serve the Lord God Almighty. He can, he desires to be, and he can be our shadow. But there's also a criteria. There's a prerequisite. What is that? He says, if you want to dwell under my shadow, he says, you have to dwell in the secret place. I want to challenge us. Let's walk with God through this thing. Let's get into his word. Let's seek to obey his word. Let's cry out to him in prayer. Let's be people of prayer. I've been convicted, Brother Ray, myself during this time. Why is it that I've gone to my knees more now than before? Why does it take something like this to do this? But hey, if that's what it takes for God to get us to do it, let's do it. Let's do it. Let us dwell in the secret place so that we can dwell under the shadow. Pastor.